Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
There's that. So, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Joy texted me. He said, "Hey, would you be open to preach?" Y'all, it's been a minute since I've been up here, okay? It's been a while. And I was like, the first thought was like, nope, not doing it. I said, it'd be like starting all over again. I don't know that I could do it. You know, I really need to pray about this. And of course, you always, when you take a step back, God's always telling you, no, you need to take that step forward. And so I prayed about it. But what the funny thing was the day before that Pastor Joey texted me to preach, my dad asked me, was at the farm, he said, "When are you going to preach again?" Now, literally, I was like, I have no clue. I don't have a clue. And the next day, Pastor Joey texted me, and that was like, you know, I know, God, you're telling me you need to do something. That's just coincidental, right? All right, so I told Pastor, I said, okay, I'll do it, but you know, I need some confirmation, God. Like, I need some confirmation that I'm supposed to be up there. So, what's my title going to be? So let me take a step back. So I've been a coach for for a long time. I've coached football. I'm coaching softball. I've coached T-ball. I've coached a bunch of kids that were not my own for a very long time. And so our football team this year, our coach retired last year. We got a new coach in, and our motto has been, as new coaches come in, you know, our motto has been protect the standard, okay? We have had a very successful run as a football program, okay? Very successful run. And we don't want to lose that standard. The standard is not the talent that creates that standard. It's the people within the organization that sets that standard that you've got to achieve, right? Okay. So our motto has been protect the standard. So 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting back there. Worship just ended, during worship had just ended, and I got the title. I was like, protect the standard. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Okay. And you always look for confirmation, right? Confirmation that you've picked the right thing. That same sermon that Pastor Joey preached, his very last slide, y'all remember what that was? It said, Jesus is the standard. And I said, that's it. I know exactly where I'm going with it. I know exactly what I'm going to be preaching about. So as I begin to study this, the standards of God, the standards of Jesus, y'all, I could spend months on this, okay? So far, I'm to five standards, powerful standards that Jesus has set for us to follow. I'm only going to talk about two of those today. I don't have time to go into all five, and I hope I get those to him because these are two very powerful standards, okay? So, put up the first note for us. One of the first standards of Jesus is obedience. Okay, the first standard is obedience. So what does obedience mean? I'm not even going to try to pronounce the word, okay, but y'all can try it yourself. But it's hypoki or something like that. I'm not even going to try to go with it. Go to the next slide, please. It comes from two Greek words, which, again, I'm not going to try to pronounce those, but those mean under or to hear and to listen. Okay, obedience is a very powerful word and a standard that we are supposed to follow under God's leadership. Okay, I'm going to go to the next slide, please. Hypokia carries the idea of hearing under or listening under authority. Okay, so I'm going to be making a lot of coaching similarities here. So as a coach, when I tell our players, whatever position that we're coaching, each position has a specific job that they have to do. Okay, you can't go out there and tell the team, let's just go out there, just try to score a touchdown. No, each position has a job that they have to do, right? Do all of us have the same job? Do all of us have the same career? Do all of us have the same? No, we each are under different anointings of God. We each go to witness to different people, right? So each one of us, we are under, if you have a job, we're under somebody's leadership. Has everybody got me so far? Okay, so when I go tell my football people, hey, you need to, this is your job. Like, you have to do your job. It is up to that player to fall under obedience of what I'm telling him to go get that job done. Okay? Everybody follow me so far? Go to the next note, please. John 14, 15. So if we are to be obedient, Jesus tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, now Pastor Joey, he always is talking about that little two-letter word, if. It carries a lot of weight. If we're going to be obedient to what God is calling us to do, if we're going to be under his anointing and under his power, we have to keep his commandments. What are his commandments? You can find them. You can find all of those in here. Are we supposed to be obedient to every single one of those commandments? Yes, we are. Okay? We're supposed to be obedient to every single one of those commandments. Let's go to James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. A lot of verses, a lot of notes today, so please bear with me. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Verse 23. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." Go to 24. "For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Let's talk about the mirror. What does a mirror do? It reflects, right? You go look into the mirror. Some people like what they see. Some people don't like what they see, right? But a mirror reflects. The reason why the mirror is in this passage right here is because when you look into a mirror, it will expose what needs to be fixed. It will expose whatever that thing that needs to be fixed. What he's talking about right here is those people that look into the mirror, yeah, we may look good on the outside. We may think we're all put together just right, but we're still going to walk away from that mirror like everything is A-okay. That's not what that verse is saying right here. What that verse is saying is when you look into the mirror, it's going to expose exactly what needs to be fixed. Not only hearers of the word, but you've got to fix that problem that needs to be fixed to fall under the obedience that God is calling you to fall under. That is up to you. It's not up to your pastor. It's not up to your wife. It's not up to your husband. That is up to you to fix whatever it is that needs to be fixed. The mirror will expose that thing that needs to be fixed. Yeah, we can come to church every Sunday and hear the word, but is that doing us any good? We can go to church every single Sunday and our sins can be exposed. We can look in the mirror and say, yeah, God, I know, I'll fix that later. God, there's no later with God. When it's exposed, you deal with it right then. That you have to fall under the obedience of God. You've got to fix it right then. I love how the message says this. Will you put this in the message, please? Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. I'm going to use my daughters right here. Okay? I love you, girls. We can tell our girls all day long, go clean your room. They heard it. They may not act like they heard it. They heard it. Why do they act like they didn't hear that direct command? Because they don't want to face that problem. They don't want to go do the work. How many Christians are like that? You hear the word. You know what you're supposed to do. You know you're supposed to go do this. But no, God, I'm good. I'm going to keep my sin. I'm going to keep my baggage. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to look in that mirror and I'm going to say everything is A-okay when you know that it's not. Is that being obedient?
No.
That's not obedient. In order to achieve the standard that God has called us to be, we have to be 110% obedient to what the Word tells us, what the commandments tell us. Is everybody following me so far? Go ahead with the next verse. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. At some point, whether you're Christian or not, the more times you look in the mirror and you deny that you have a problem or that you deny that something needs fixing, you're going to forget who you are. And it's not, you're going to be good with it. You're going to forget who you are. What if Jesus, on the way to the cross, said, okay, I'm just going to forget who I am. I'm just going to back away and this ain't worth it. What if he did that? How much sin would be in our lives then? You have to be obedient. 110% obedient. Next verse, please. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, is no distracted, scattered brain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. If you want to be blessed by God, raise your hand if you want to be blessed by God. And anything that you do, you want to be blessed by God. You have to be obedient. God will bless your obedience. But you can't do it half-heartedly. You have to do it 110%. If we tell our football guys or softball girls, go out there and just do the best that you can. Doing the best that you can does not cut it. That's not a standard. Doing the best just do the best you can, and you pat them on the rear and go out there. That doesn't cut it. There's a standard that we hold our players accountable to. There's a standard that Jesus holds us to. And it's up to us to be obedient and come into submission to that obedience. Put up the next note, please. Would you read that for a second? Obedience isn't proven by what I hear on Sunday. Obedience is proven by what I, listen to that word, do on Monday. We can come to church every single Sunday. We can come to church every time those doors are open. We can. We can look the part. We can bring that mirror with us and look like everything is okay when it's not. Obedience isn't proven by what I hear on Sunday. Obedience is what I do on Monday. What I do on Tuesday. What I do on Wednesday. All day long. That's what obedience is. Don't just be hearers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. Why is being obedient to God's authority so important? Why is that? Why does God put such an emphasis on us being obedient? Is there a reason why? God is not going to call us to do something unless there's some meat on the bone that we need to grasp, right? Let's go to Romans chapter 16, 17. It says, now I urge you, brethren, Note those who call divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine of which you learned, and avoid them. I'll come back to that in a second. Next verse. Amen. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Next verse. For your, what's the word there?
Obedience.
For your, say it again.
Obedience.
For your obedience has become known to just a few people. You're obedient. That is telling me that once I get it, once like when you tell a football player, he finally gets the job. He finally understands what to do. He finally understands that we're not trying to trick him and make him look stupid. We're actually trying to make him a better player, make her a better player on the softball. Once they understand that, it's not about them. It's about everybody sees that they are held to a standard. They are held to a standard. So everybody will see that. It'll be known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. So what is that telling us? We are to decipher between what is good and what is evil. Whose job is that? Mine. That is my job. And right now in our world, we have a very tough problem doing that, discerning what is good and what is evil. The standard has been the same for thousands of years. The standard has never changed, but the people have changed. God is looking down here on earth saying, no, you're getting it totally wrong. The standard has not changed. What I said yesterday is still good for today, and it's still going to be good for later on. You're the one standing. If you're not being blessed because somebody's changing it, was not God. The standard has never changed, nor will it ever change. Now, before they put the next verse up, this is the next verse I really want to get to. Obedience is important. That's why I led off with obedience. Obedience, to me, is one of the main standards. They're all equally same. But if we can understand obedience, you know, like I said a while ago, if God tells us we need to do something, usually on the other end of it, there's a little meat on the bone for us, right? There's a little prize, if you will, for us, right? The next verse will tell us exactly why being obedient is so important in our life. We all struggle with stuff. We all struggle with every day that you walk out, school has started back. Lord have mercy. Like I teach school, I'm in my 16th year teaching. God's honest truth, I thought it was my 15th year teaching. Until like the day that I went back to school and I asked the teacher, she's like, no, like you started like a year after me. Like this is your 16th year. I'm like, I'm almost retirement. Like that's so awesome. Like let's go teach now, you know. Now you get motivated, but I don't know. I'll be there. My baby don't start kindergarten until next year, so I'll be there a lot longer. Anyway, but the next verse. So we all face something in our lives, right? So here, if we can get being obedient, this is what God said He'll do for us. Put up verse 20, please. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That means if you come under obedience, no matter what you're facing, it's not too big of a problem for God to crush. He says exactly in this verse right here, the Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. But before that, He will do what to Satan? Crush him under what? His foot. You be obedient to what God has for you. You get totally submissive. I can't get too ahead of myself right now. But you submit to the will of God. God promised you He will crush Satan under His feet on whose behalf? My behalf. He will not do that until we get what? Obedient. We have to be obedient. 110% obedient. I wrote this down a while ago. That God, it's a note that they don't have upstairs. But it says, we don't protect the standard by changing it to accommodate people. We protect the people by refusing to change the standard. Let me read that again. We don't protect the standard by changing it to accommodate people. Is that not what we're doing today in the world?
Yes.
Oh my God. We are changing everything because the minus 1% has a problem with something. Now the whole 99% has got to do what the little bitty 1% wants to do. And it's totally against what God says is right. We don't change the standard to accommodate the people. If we want to protect the people, we don't change the standard. It's got to stay the same. It's got to stay the same. But where are we headed as a nation right now? It's not good, folks. It's not good. The second part that I want to talk about, the second standard of Jesus is sacrifice.
Wow.
If you would, go and put up the next note. The Greek definition, or the Greek word for sacrifice, is thousia. I can say that one fairly okay. Go ahead and put up the next note, please. The term thousia originates from the verb thou, meaning to offer or to sacrifice. Now, we are talking about sacrificial, you know, lambs, animals, that kind of stuff. We are talking about those types of sacrifices, but we also know that Jesus was a sacrifice for us, right? And we're going to get into that in just a second. Next note, please. It refers both to the act of sacrifice and the sacrificial offering itself in literal, next one, figurative context. Okay, and that's where we're about to go, is in the figurative context of being sacrificed. Okay, put up the next note, please. Protecting the standard requires sacrifice. What does require mean? Gotta have it. Like there's no gray area there. It requires sacrifice. Okay. We as Christians must sacrifice ourselves how many times? Every time. I heard daily. How many times us as Christians have got to sacrifice ourselves? Daily. It's not whenever you get saved don't mean you're good the rest of your life. It don't mean once you get saved that you're good, that you don't have to sacrifice yourself every single day after that. You have to sacrifice yourself on a daily basis. Every single day. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what?
Living
sacrifice. Holy. That's another standard that I can't cover today. That's another standard. I can't cover it today. But that is another standard. Holy and what?
Acceptable
to God, which is your reasonable service. Go to the next one. Next verse. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We serve a perfect God. The will He has for you, I may not like God's will for my life. I do not. Listen, I'm a quiet, shy person. I'm one of the most unsociable people you ever meet. Like, I don't talk to people, okay? Like, I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get more social. I did wave to somebody on the way to church today, okay? I'm trying to get better socially. I'm not there yet, okay? And people do not like me because I don't talk to them. I'm good with that. They can have that. I'm trying to get better, though, okay? But God's perfect will, His will for me is perfect. I may not like, my flesh right now is screaming on the inside, get off the stage. But it don't matter what my flesh says. What matters is I'm doing the will of God right now and preaching His word. God's will for you is perfect. It will never be tainted because we serve a perfect God. What does the word conformed right there mean? It means allowing the world to shape you. You tell me right now. I don't even hardly watch TV no more. But anytime you turn the news on, you see the latest news out. Who is shaping this world right now? It ain't Christians. Christians are going along with it. Who's shaping it? The devil right now is shaping the world exactly like he wants it. Are Christians being obedient right now?
No.
Are we sacrificing ourselves on a daily basis right now? How do we know that Christians are not doing that? Look at the way the world is right now. That tells you exactly what you need to know. We're not holding ourselves to the standard that God has for us. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Conform, but what does transform mean? Transform means allowing God to change you. Allowing God to change you. The day that you got saved, you changed. In that, as soon as you accepted Jesus into your heart, you changed. Something inside, you felt something different on the inside. Something absolutely changed. You felt that change, right? You felt good there for a couple of weeks, couple months, couple years. But then your flesh started talking again. Your flesh started saying, hey, I know you got saved back then, but, how about we go back over here? And then the world starts conforming that. Once you open, I heard a saying a long time ago, once you give the devil an inch, he will become your ruler. And as soon as you let that door open, just a little, we've all been there. You want to know who Pastor Joey preaches to every Sunday? Me. Okay, I'm preaching myself right now. Once you open the door, once you open up that to that flesh, you're cooked. You're cooked. It may not be a big thing right now, but we teach our football guys, the small things matter. The small details matter. How you approach the game matters. We tell our softball girls, how you throw a pitch, that matters. If you're throwing all balls all day long, that matters. Because we're probably getting beat. The small details matter. But sometimes they're also the ones that get overlooked. Because they don't matter enough to some of us. Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 1 in the Message version. I love the Message. I'm a point-blank guy. Okay, again, people don't like me because of that, but I'm a point-blank guy. And the Message, I can resonate with the Message version right here. Because you got to tell me, don't tell me I want this. Right? Going out to eat is a nightmare at our house. Just pick somewhere and let's go. You know what I mean? I want to be direct. So and I like the Message because of this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, as a sacrificial offering. Take it every single day, not when you feel like it, not when you want to, and not just on Sunday. Every single day has got to be a sacrificial offering to God. Every single day. You're sleeping. Take it to God. You're eating. Cover my jacket up, okay? Take it to God. Everything. Take it to God. Because it's His anyways. Next verse. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture. I could spend a whole Sunday on culture. That you fit into it without even thinking. That goes back to my point a while ago. You may not think that small detail mattered. In a couple of weeks, that small detail really mattered now. Because now we've got too far into something. We didn't realize we was too far into something. Now I'm caught. Now I got myself in here. And then you realize the only way that I can get myself out, I've got to repent back to God. And guess what? He will allow you to do that. We serve a perfect and graceful God. God wants us, though, to be perfect in everything that we do. You take my girl. My girls are perfect. Your kids, in your eyes, they are, listen, they need to be perfect in your eyes. Do I know that they are perfect? I don't. But when I see them messing up, I am there to correct that. When God sees us messing up, He is there to correct that. But here's the catch. You have to accept the correction. You ask some of my players, listen, I will get your tail. Like I'm an in your face, I'm borderline rough around the edges coach. Okay? I will you will know, and I have to go back to my old football coach, and my mom can vouch for this. I had one of those coaches growing up. Okay, I was playing cornerback. I got burnt on a touchdown, and I come trotting off the sideline. Listen, my coach grabbed me by the face mask and was like, doing this number. I mean, now he was not using very clean words, okay? Not using clean words. And I was almost crying in tears, you know, because he got me. But from that day forward, do you think I made that mistake again?
No.
I don't care if I had to start 50 yards ahead start, I was not getting burned again, okay? I was not making, and he went to my mom after the game. He said, don't be mad at me, mama, but I guarantee you, he won't make that mistake again. God's looking down on us right now. We may not like the correction. We may rebel against that correction. But in God's eyes, He does not want us to make those same mistakes again. How do we not make those same mistakes again? We sacrifice ourselves every single day. The world is constantly telling us what's acceptable, what's normal, what's right, what's wrong, what we should value, and how we should live. Do you agree with that? The world is pretty much stuffing everything negative that goes against God's will and stuffing it down our throats. It's happening every single day. I work in the school system. The school system is not the same that it was 16 years ago. It's totally different. I have one that homeschooled, and I will be the first, it goes on camera. Listen, I'm ready to homeschool all my kids. I am. I would. I'd finish out my retirement, and I'd get out of there. But I'm there for a reason. I'm there. My kids are in school for a reason. One of these days, we may be that 1% that's screaming out. But we're still screaming out. Even if we get one, even if we get one more person, it was worth it. The fight was worth it. I'm not going to change. This several years ago, we had open house at our school. I had a Bible laying on my desk, and this was when, you know, having Bibles, teachers and Bibles wasn't a good thing. And one of our people walked in. He goes, "You gonna leave that out for the parents to see?" I about came across my desk on that guy and laid the fivefold ministry on him right then, because yes, I'm leaving that on my desk. I don't care about that. I don't care about what the standard didn't change. Don't get me started on separation of church and state, because that is totally wrong the way they teach it these days.
Right.
If I want to pray at school, I'm going to pray at school.
Amen.
If I want to have my Bible on my desk, I'm going to have my Bible on my desk. Standard don't change just because somebody said that it did. I have no idea where I'm at right now. All right. Romans chapter 12 in the Message. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from where? Inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Once you sacrifice yourself on a daily basis, you will recognize exactly what God is telling you. Okay, that's God. I'll do it. Okay, God, I'm ready to go. I'll do that. Once you sacrifice yourself daily, you will recognize what God is telling you, and you're going to respond to it. You have to sacrifice yourself every single day, though. Next verse, please. Unlike the culture around you. Listen, do you know how long ago this Bible was written? And look what it's talking about us today. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. How do we get that? First, we got to be obedient. Secondly, we have to sacrifice ourselves every single day. Put up the next note, please. John 14:6 said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, Father except through me. Has the standard ever changed from that? The standard has always been, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That standard has never changed. And guess what? Never will. It never will. That standard will never change. Next note, please. One of my favorite notes right here. God does not lower His standard to accommodate our sinfulness. God does not lower His standard to accommodate our sinfulness. Let me go back to the football and softball thing. If I've got a player that says, Coach, I can't do it. Coach, I can't do it. Coach, I can't do it. Do I change the plan to accommodate for what he can't do? No, the standard doesn't change. You either, and this will happen as Christians, you either find somebody else that will, or you push that person until they achieve that. I like to push that person because when a kid tells me that they can't do something, that is a goal of mine that they're going to achieve that goal. Because once they realize, oh, I can do it, they've reached that standard, but guess what? There's another standard they got to reach. That's the same thing as Christianity. Once you reach that standard, you haven't made it yet because there's another standard, another level that you can go to. But you have to be obedient and sacrifice yourself daily to even have a chance to do that. Next note, please. The standard never changes. Culture may change, politics may change, opinions may change, but the truth never changes. What is in this Bible right here? This is the truth. This is the truth. It tells us exactly how to live our lives. The truth will never change. And that's something that you can be proud of as a Christian, that you serve a God that gives you a handbook of how to live your lives. You want to know how to do something? Study your Bible. You want to know how to get financially, whatever the case may be, you want to know an answer to it? This is it. There's no other book. There's no other God except one, and it's the one true God that gave us a manual to live our life off of. So how do we protect the standard? How do we protect the standard? Going back to my title. You know, I'm talking about these are the standards of God that you have access to. Now you're thinking, well, you know, my past probably won't let me. No, listen, your past is the past. Today's a new day. You can start protecting the standard today. It's there for you. The standard's never changed. The door's always open to become a child of God. So how do we protect the standard? I promise this is my last verse. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want to stop right there for a second. Pastor Joey has taught us there are some key words and passages that we need to really focus on. The first one is if. That's a powerful word right there. God says if. Who's got to make that decision if I'm going to do that or not? I do. If anyone desires to come after me, Jesus, after God, what does he have to do? He's got to deny who? Himself. He's got to deny himself. That's the first thing that you've got to do. You've got to deny yourself and take up, now look at this word here, his. You know, in the New King James verses, what does, if we're in referencing to God, the H is always capitalized, right? So are we referencing God or Jesus in this statement right here? Who are we referencing right here? We're referencing us as Christians. You've got to take up your cross daily. Daily. Every single day, you've got to take up your own cross. Your neighbor can't do it. Your husband can't do it. Your wife can't do it. Your pastor can't do it. You have to do it on a daily basis. Take up your cross. But there's a third command. And do what?
Follow
me. Notice the M right here. It's capitalized. Reverencing Jesus. I've got to deny myself. Take up my cross before I can follow Jesus. That's an order. What happens first? I've got to deny myself. My flesh is always doing this. My flesh is always doing this. In my mind, my flesh is always doing this. The devil knows that. As a coach in softball or in football, you know how we try to beat opponents? We attack their weakness. In order to try to beat another team, we watch film. I was 6 o'clock this morning. I was in coach. We were watching film this morning for our first game this Friday. Trying to find a weakness that we can expose to get the victory. What is God telling us right here? You want victory? You want victory in your life? You got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. Seems easy, right? But it's not. We've all been there. We've all been there and done that. Let me talk about the cross for a second. In today's time, the cross is a symbol of faith, right? If I was to have a cross, I was going to have a cross up here. We see the cross, we automatically think it's a symbol of faith. It's a symbol, you know, of Christianity. Let me tell you something what the cross really represented back then. In Roman culture, the cross was an instrument of death. The cross was an instrument of death. People who were sent to the cross were criminals. The worst of the worst people. If they were sentenced to death by the cross, they were not good people. They were bad people. Okay? Let me talk about that person. That criminal. He had no choice. If he was sentenced to death, he had no choice. They would usually make them carry the cross beam. Usually the vertical beam was already in the ground. They would have to carry the cross beam on their back to their death. Think about that for a second. If today you knew that you were going to die, you had to carry the very thing that was going to kill you eventually to the place that they were going to hang you up to die. He had no choice. He had to submit to the authorities. He knew at that day and time that once he got to the cross, he was not going to be able to go back home. He couldn't go back home. He had already been submitted and was going to be a sacrifice for that day. Let me turn it into something else, though. We are that criminal. Let me explain it to you. We are that criminal. We don't deserve what God says we can have. We don't deserve all the blessings that God says we can have. We are that criminal. How often do we got to sacrifice ourselves? Daily. What that means, he said, the Bible says to pick up your cross on a daily basis. What that means, it's not about a sign of faith. It's about crucifying your flesh every single day, everything that you go through, the lust, anything that you go through, you got to crucify it every single day. And in your mind, you will never go back to the way that you once was. It's over. Once you crucify it, once it's on the cross, it is done. You don't go back to the way that you lived. You sacrifice it on a daily basis. It's done. But why don't we do that? Why is that so hard? It's because we're not obedient to what the Word tells us, and we have a trouble sacrificing some of our fleshly pleasures. That's the problem. God is saying, if we can do that, if we can be obedient and be sacrificial every single day, remember that verse a while ago? I will stomp Satan under your feet. Every time. But it's up to us to do that. I have no idea where I'm at now. I don't know if I have any more notes or not. But I want to close with it. Go ahead and stand up, please. I do have one more note. If you could go ahead and put that note back up. I know it's up there. The devil is always doing what? He's always talking. People, always talking. Do you know when Jesus was not condemned by God to go to the cross? Who was Jesus condemned by? The people. You don't think people are going to condemn you because of your faith? You don't think people are going to talk about you because of your faith? You don't think people are going to spread lies about you because of your faith? Thank God I serve a God that will not judge me based on what He hears. Amen. But I serve a God that will judge me based off what He knows. Amen. There's a huge difference there. People can talk all they want to. That's fine. But when judgment day comes, it's going to be me and my Lord and Savior one-on-one. And He knows. He knows every single thing, whether good or bad. I'm going to have to give an account for some stuff. I understand that. We all have a past. Nobody's perfect. We are perfect in God's eyes, though. We are so perfect in His eyes that He sent His Son to die on the cross for me. I don't deserve it. I deserve to go to the cross to be sacrificed. That's what I deserve. But on a daily basis, God tells me to sacrifice my flesh every single day because there's a standard that He has set that I must follow. Amen? If you would, bow your heads, close your eyes. I don't know. I hope this message reached somebody here today. And I don't know who that person is or if there's anybody, but we always want to open the door and give the opportunity for somebody to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you've been hearing this message and something struck a chord with you, and you're like, I want to begin to protecting the standard that God and Jesus has set for me. I want my day to start. I want to accept Jesus, the perfect Jesus. The truth that will never run out. I want to accept Jesus into my heart today. We're not going to ask you to join the church. We're not going to ask you to come down front and see everybody. But I do want you to give a physical surrender to God by simply raising your hand right now if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I got one over here to the left. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Listen. We're going to go back. Is anybody else? Is there one more person? Is there one more person that says, hey, today is my day. I want to surrender myself. I want to become obedient right now. Is there anybody else? Oh, we got one more. Yes, we got one more. Good job. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Listen, I'll drag this out if I need to. Is there one more person? I know somebody, your heart is beating 90 to nothing, right? You're like, hey, dude, he's talking to you, and you're exactly right. I'm talking to you right now. If there's one more person, just raise your hand where God can see it. Nobody's looking. Raise your hand where God can acknowledge that. Is anybody else? If not, we're going to move on. Got one more. Thank God. We got another one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if y'all just, the atmosphere just changed all of a sudden. It just changed. Listen, is there one more person? God, listen. God will leave the 99 to go after the one. You are that one person today. God will leave us to go after you. So if there's one more person, simply raise your hand up. I'm not going to drag this out much longer. Raise your hand up right now if you want to submit your life to God and be saved today. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? All right, let's pray. I want everybody to pray these words out loud. If you raise your hand to be saved, I want you to speak these words too. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today before your throne of grace and mercy. We acknowledge we are sinners. We acknowledge that we have lived a bad life. But today, I submit. I'm going to be obedient to your truth of your word. I accept you, Jesus, into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Amen. All right, there's one more thing we need to do, though. Listen, I know I'm not the only one up here that this message was for. We're going to go back into prayer one more time. If you're here and you're like, today is my day, I'm going to make myself be obedient and sacrifice myself on a daily basis. It starts today. Remember I said a while ago, the verse says a while ago, don't only be hearers of the word, but doers only. We can listen, we're gonna look in the mirror today. We think we're good, but how are we gonna act tomorrow when we go out these doors? If you really want to accept that, if you really want to be the one that says, God, that's for me. I want to be obedient and I'm your sacrifice. Do with me as you please. I want you to acknowledge that today. So bow your heads. If you're one of those that says, yes, that is me, I want you to throw your hands up right now. There are hands all across this sanctuary. There are hands all across this sanctuary. All I got to say is, devil, you better watch out. You better watch out. There's people that are saying, I'm willing to be obedient. I'm willing to sacrifice myself daily, Satan, to kick your tail. The devil's waking up every morning saying, oh, God, he's up or she's up. Better watch out. Listen, let's go. Let's go. Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want you to pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. God, I realize today there are areas in my life that need attention. I have looked in the mirror. I have seen the flaws. I've seen what needs to be fixed. And God, I am crucifying those. I am sacrificing those things today to your cross. But God, I'm picking up the perfect cross that you have for me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.